You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Everybody, Pat Rigsby here with another episode of the Ideal Business Show, and today my special guest is Fred Zoeller. Now, you may have seen some of the stuff that Fred shares within Virtual Fitness Mastermind or the things that I've shared in my newsletter about Fred. Fred not only is the owner of Lean Performance Academy in Louisiana, but he's also the creator of the Expert Coaching System and the Expert Program Design System. So he's done a lot of things very successfully, both online and offline. And I wanted to basically get Fred to share some of his backstory and some of his journey from, you know, where he kind of started out to where he is today, now that he's got, you know, a thriving local business and he's broken into the online market as well. So welcome, Fred.
Thank you very much. It's exciting to be here. A little bit nervous, but I'm sure it'll go well. So it's quite an honor. Hopefully I'll do the audience some justice.
Well, I have no doubt with that. So, you know, let's start out and talk about, you know, how you got your start in the fitness industry. I think that would be a good kind of jumping off point for us. Do you mind sharing something about that?
Sure, absolutely. That actually was a result of playing 2 years of college baseball. And so, obviously, for my whole life, I played baseball. That's pretty much everything that I knew. And, you know, when I graduated from high school, I got a scholarship to a junior college in Perkinson, Mississippi, called Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College. And after 2 years, I just decided to stop playing and go to a four-year university. And that's where I kind of was, like, wandering around aimlessly after my career in baseball and kind of got into weightlifting and, you know, stuff just to keep myself in shape. And so I decided to venture out a little further and do a bodybuilding show because I'm very competitive and I just felt like I wanted to continue doing something in the competitive realm. So I hired a trainer, and it was actually a female, and it was in 1995. And she had a little flyer on the wall that said, if you're interested in doing a bodybuilding show, give me a call. So I gave her a call and actually hired her. And then in that particular year, ended up doing two, you know, just local amateur bodybuilding shows. Was pretty successful, you know, won my weight class. And that's pretty much what inspired me and motivated me to get into the fitness. I had a very good experience with her as a trainer. And just kind of started dabbling around and got a certification. I ended up training with her for a few years, learned a lot, and that's where I started doing, you know, personal training one-on-one. That was the start of my fitness career, 1995.
Nice. Very cool. So when you started doing one-on-one training, I mean, how did that play out? I mean, were you training in a health club? Where were you working?
I started working out in a health club. It was a World's Gym, and it was in the city where I was from and where I did the majority of my training for that bodybuilding show. And, of course, you know, the management picked up on the fact that, you know, I had a trainer, the lady that was working there, and she was contracted out at the time, and saw that, you know, my transformation. And then, you know, of course, they, a lot of them, you know, we became friends. They, you know, came and watched the show and saw me and saw that I was taking an interest in it and, you know, just pitched it one day to me. Have you ever thought about being a personal trainer? I was like, well, I was so focused on trying to do these shows and, you know, still being, you know, 19 and 20 years old, you know, I knew better. I was like, well, I don't really know what I'm doing outside of, like, my competition training. And so I started, you know, they said, hey, get certified, you know, we'll help you get started and stuff like that. So I did, and that's how I began that journey. At least where I'm from back then, I wasn't really semi-private or group training. It was just particularly all one-on-one, so that's how I got started.
Okay, good. So let's kind of fast track and talk a little bit about the time you spent, you know, as a trainer before you decided to go into your own facility, that, you know, 1,000-square-foot type of facility. Like, I mean, what were you doing? Were you working as an independent contractor? Were you responsible for going out and getting your own clients? How did that go?
Well, originally, most of the clubs around here were hiring us out as independent contractors. So that was my experience with probably about 90% of the time, you know, working as an independent contractor. And you were basically responsible for everything. I mean, you more or less just running the club, whatever, you know, with the percentage that you paid in. And so what I learned over time is that as I got better and grew and my revenue started getting up there, when it came time for tax season, you know, when you're not an employee, but you don't own your own place, you only have a certain number of write-offs. So it started getting really hammered on taxes. And so then I started negotiating becoming an employee with some of the companies and, you know, negotiating some time off and some benefits and stuff like that, which was brand new around here. So kind of pioneered it. So then from like 2006 until I left, the two clubs that I worked for, I was actually, you know, I was still working by commission, but I was actually a W-2 employee. And so, however, you still was responsible for pretty much doing everything on your own. And by this time, I had been in the community for a while, so I had a strong following. I was able to stay full-time year-round, you know, which is good, but then the hours, you know, begin to pile up. And so there's the stress of that whole trainer lifestyle, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, working dollars for hours. And so, but that's how I was working for the better part of 10 years before I started getting the itch to kind of do my own thing.
Okay. So let's go ahead and talk about you making that move, because I think that's a lot of the kind of common bond that so many of us have, right? We all at one point decided, hey, I'm going to have to take the plunge. I'm going to have to get my own space. I'm going to have to outfit it. And now the responsibility is going to fall to me. So, I mean, tell me a little bit more about that. Talk to me about kind of what went through your mind, how that kind of evolved, and, you know, let's just go with that.
Definitely. So the last health club that I was working for, which is a powerhouse in the city that I am now, they have three big locations, and I was at the largest location where I had been for 5 consecutive years. And so over time, I was realizing that they were adding trainers, and no one was really making any money or getting any clients. So I kind of basically just stepped up and said, hey, you know, you don't really have a training program. And so, you know, I'm happy to create one because I just enjoy doing it and working with other coaches and trying to help them, you know, get a little bit better. So I created a training program for the club that I was at. And then, of course, you know, they kind of noticed, so they made me a lead trainer. Next thing, I was working on all the services and the pricing and the packages. And then I was coming up with uniforms and trying to recruit people for team meetings and trainings. And so I was getting to the point to where I was like, okay, done enough free stuff. Now I'm looking to, in my mind, you know, move up the chain somewhat. And then just one fateful day, I started thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, I'm the leading trainer at the club, have been for 5 years. I created the training program. I'm training the trainers. I've created all the packages. I think I can just do this on my own. Like, I couldn't justify any longer why I was actually there. And so I wasn't being paid for that stuff. And I realized that they weren't doing anything wrong. I knew I was capped out with what I was making. I knew they wasn't going to be able to or wasn't going to pay me anymore. And so without anybody knowing, I just started kind of doing my own research, and I was looking at my clientele. And I knew that my clients were going to follow me because I recruited every single one of them on my own, and they had been with me for years. And so I started doing the research. I was looking for locations. And then when I realized that, hey, I think I can make this work because I'm already doing all my own marketing, I have all my own clients, I pretty much created a training program, and I think I can make this work. And I just was feeling uneasy every day about coming to work and being employed for someone else. And then I remember the day I just called my boss and I said, look, I'm going to be leaving. You know, and she was like, wait, what? And I was like, yeah, I just decided I want to do my own thing. I think I can do all what I'm doing at the club on my own. And I don't want to have a ceiling anymore. I want the opportunity to be able to grow and, you know, just be responsible for everything that I'm doing on my own. And, you know, I knew that some trainers would eventually want to come follow me based off of my experience with them in the clubs. And so I had a conversation with my wife. You know, we were very stable at the time, and we had a lot less kids than we do today. And so I had some money saved up, and she said, hey, I always thought you could do it. Go do it. And so that was it. That was the step. I mean, basically, it was me wanting to capitalize on what I was already doing. At some point, I just really started to realize I would enjoy doing it for myself and maybe helping other trainers get to where I am. And that was my goal as far as opening my own business, at least initially.
Nice. So when was this? Like, what year or how long into your career was this?
This was the beginning of 2013. And so by that time, I had been training, for like over 10 years in the city that I'm in now. And the years prior to that was in a city that's about 20 miles outside of here where I started training and doing bodybuilding. Because at that point, I was living at college and commuting back and forth to the city where I was doing all my training. So I had a pretty solid following at that time. And I guess that's what gave me the courage to take the step out and, you know, get started. I started planning in the beginning of 2013 and actually opened up my first facility in May, the middle of May of 2013.
Okay. So talk about that. Talk about that first facility and that transition to being a facility owner.
So I had made an agreement with the club that I was at because I kept it very confidential. I knew I had been there for a while. It was kind of like an icon at the place. And they were so afraid that if word got out that I was leaving, that, you know, it was just going to cause a lot of grief. And so for that period of time when I was doing the build-out, I stayed employed with the club. They said, hey, we'll keep you for as long as possible. And I kept it about as quiet as I possibly could. Besides my wife, a real estate agent, the guy that was building out the building, and, you know, a couple of equipment distributors, no one really knew about it. So I spent that 6 months getting that place ready before I actually moved. And then one fateful Friday, it was just my last day, and it was so paranoid about me leaving that there was no goodbye or anything. I just left that day after I was training and never showed back up. And that Monday, I opened up my facility, and so Saturday I made a Facebook post that I had left CrossGates and that I would be doing my own thing and, you know, announce where my location would be. And I was trying to be very honest and, you know, have integrity. I didn't try to recruit any of my clients, even though they were training with me at the time. I just made the announcement that, hey, this is where I'm, you know, going to be if you're going to want to continue, which is, you know, very extremely frightening. You know, I'm working one Friday and then Monday I'm in this brand new facility. I mean, it was small and I'm just sitting there by myself. And so, of course, I started doing Facebook posts and started sending emails and stuff like that. So it was very interesting. I sat there for 7 days without getting any feedback. And then finally people started catching on and, you know, realizing, wow, you moved, no one knew, you know, and I kind of explained, hey, this is what I had to do. This is the agreement that I made. And so that's when it, you know, slowly began to take off and probably kept about 75% of my clientele at the time. So I moved about 20 or 25 people with me, which was really good. Even though it wasn't enough initially, it was at least some money coming in and, you know, got me over the hump of being, you know, extremely nervous and, you know, apprehensive about the move and second guessing myself and stuff like that, which I guess everyone does initially. And so that's how that move for that first facility took place.
Nice. So we know where you are today, and we'll get into that more in a moment. But, I mean, you know, how did you go from, you know, as you just referenced, it not being enough? It was nice that you had something, but, you know, I mean, it just wasn't what you needed it to be. So how did you go from that to outgrowing that facility. What kind of things happened that prompted that kind of growth?
So, you know, we followed for years the one-on-one training model. So as I'm sitting down looking at my books, I'm looking at all the people I'm training, and I'm realizing that there's not going to be more hours in the days. There has to be more money in the hours. And so with not a drop of any type of business experience or business coaching, luckily I was smart enough to realize that, okay, even if I filled up every hour of every day that I'm open, it still wouldn't be enough. I would have been better off staying where I am. And so I immediately learned that, hey, I have to leverage my time in order to do this. And, you know, the goal initially was to, you know, hire another trainer, which didn't happen for quite a while. And so I just got to the point where I realized I had to leverage my time, and I just started talking to my clients and said, look, I'm out of hours. You know, I have people that want to train with me, so we're going to start doing, you know, semi-private groups. You're going to pay less than what you were paying before, but you're going to get the same program. You're going to get the same results. You're going to get the same Fred. We're just going to pair you up. And so I literally basically told everyone that I would not ever be doing personal training again, that it was going to all be semi-private training, you know, preferably groups of four, but 2 to 4 in that facility was comfortable. And so eventually I started doing groups of four all day long. So it was like having 4 clients in an hour, you know, quadrupling the revenue. And so that's when I actually got caught up and really started to actually get out of the red or the black and into the green. And, you know, had the idea of semi-private group training. And then as that started to fill up, I started adding 5 people into a group. And I was doing 5 people at a time, you know, 8 or 9 times a day. And then toward the end, when that started getting full, I actually started consolidating 2 groups into 1 and calling it a small group. And so I was really packing out that facility. I would have about 8 to 10 people in a group. And it was 1,000 square foot, but it was only 800 square foot of training area. So I had to be very strategic at how I trained. And I had built great relationships. People knew that I had needed to make more money and that I was growing. I had the potential. It was just all how it was going to play out in terms of who was going to train with who. And I really didn't get any negative feedback from what I was doing. There were some people that didn't mind being in larger groups. They were paying a little bit less. And so then I started doing about half my day was semi-private, and then half my day was groups of 8 or 10. And so at that time, I actually started working 6 or 7 hours a day rather than 13 or 14, but making a phenomenal amount of revenue in those days just by myself. And then I started actually having free time. And then at that point, I started realizing, okay, now the building's not big enough. And so even though I was only 7 months into a 2-year lease, I just realized that it was stay right here again, or you got to look for a new place. You're going to have to suck it up. And so I started looking again. And that's when I found a building in my city that was way too big of a move, but it was the perfect place and the perfect location. The lease was about as low as you can get, and I knew that it was going to be a major struggle again from the get-go. And so I just decided, like, it was my only option. Like, I knew I needed to grow. And I had a bigger vision, you know. I had a vision of a business that I didn't do all the training and that I would have more free time at home and that, you know, that I wouldn't be putting in 14 and 15-hour days. And so, you know, I just took the plunge, started doing another build-out only 7 months after I completed the first one. And so 3 months after that, because this building was in really good shape, I mean, it was close to almost doable, I left the building I was in and opened up the new one. And so now it was all swallowed up again, even though I had, you know, leveraged a lot of my time. And this is the point where I was like, okay, now I have to definitely find someone to help me. And the interesting thing is that I was paying 2 leases at one time. And so I had my initial lease, the new lease, and so the number that I was making at the little place all of a sudden got swallowed up and wasn't enough again. So then I started running transformation challenges to grow my groups, and I was on the hunt for employees, which was very tough, and that didn't work out for almost a year. And that got me really to a very extremely difficult point, more than leaving the big club initially. And I'll just say that that brought me to my knees. And that made me realize whether this is something I really wanted to do or not. And so I'm still here today, and I made it through it. Taught me a lot. But I just stuck to my vision. I stuck to, you know, the mission I had for my business. I knew I had an incredible product, and I had a huge following. You know, you just can't do it all yourself. That wasn't my ideal business anyway. And so I just bit the bullet and pushed as hard as I could. You know, I hired a business coach initially online, and then, of course, you know, I got you right when it got hard, maybe right at the end. And so it's been good ever since. But I knew in the process that everything that I was doing to generate income, all my systems, all my processes, I knew if I was going to ever have to step out, that those had to be solid, in place, teachable. They needed to be able to replicate easy so that when somebody came on, they could hop right into a system that was already working, and it would give me a new warm body to take on more people. And so that's where I was in that part of the business. But that was almost a solid year after I moved in. So that year was really hard. It was really tough. And, of course, as you know, I went from one child to two kids, and then my wife was pregnant again for the third kid. So it was intense.
So how do we go from there to where you are today in, you know, a showcase facility, 500 clients? I mean, things are rocking and rolling. How do you make that kind of move?
Well, I'll tell you this. The biggest turning point for me was two things. One was getting the business coaching and being around like-minded people. That was huge for me. The second was I had struggled through the better part of a year, and I knew that I needed to build systems. And then when I finally got my first coach, who was young, fresh out of college, extremely talented, but so green. You know, I put him out on the floor. He clammed up. He was afraid to talk in front of people. And this guy was really talented. And so immediately I realized, okay, I cannot expect anything from this guy unless I have taught it to him. And so between all the work that I was doing, programming all the workouts for every person that walked through the door, and teaching them a certain way to coach and how to deliver a session, you know, not just showing up, reading off of a board, and then going standing off on the side. The sales system that I had in place, like, I couldn't turn over strategy sessions to him if he was afraid to ask people for money. So every time I had an incident where I saw a situation like that, I realized, man, I am responsible for teaching him that and, you know, making him be able to replicate everything that I say and do. And that was the birth of the program design system. Well, that was when I started realizing I needed a template for him to follow because he wasn't going to be able to do it on his own. That was the birth of the expert coaching system. It was also the birth of my internship program because as I started training him, I was just saving everything. And then because I got another guy like 2 months later, fresh out of college. And so now I had Eric pretty much trained up. Josh comes on board. It's like, oh, wait, now we have a legitimate internship program. And so I got with the local college, and when the gym started growing, it was an attraction for interns to come in because, you know, they saw a thriving facility. And so, you know, I realized that the only way that I was going to be truly successful was if I could replicate everything that I was doing on my own, right? But I couldn't do it all by myself. And so those things all turned into systems and products and everything that I could push off to one of the guys once they got good at it and help them grow their business, gave me more free time to work on the business and do my marketing so I could get better at that. And so that was a transition. I mean, that was the turning point. And from September when I hired Eric, Josh came in right at the end of the year. March of the following year, we had filled up our transformation program at the beginning of the year, and we were already like 100 clients up. And I got to admit, these guys were superstars. They just needed some good coaching. And so it taught me a lot. It was like, man, that's why I went out on my own. You know, I enjoyed teaching them. They were wide open to learning. They were getting excited. They were like sponges. And, you know, the three of us, and then, of course, I got an intern right after that, which was a huge blessing. And he's still coaching for me now, full time. And so the systems were so solid at that point that they were just coming right in, seeing what we were doing, you know, making relationships with all of our clients. And from that point on, we have been just getting 20 to 30 to 40 leads a month. You know, we're in transformation challenge after transformation challenge. The guys are incredible at the strategy sessions. They're not afraid. They're like begging people to come in and do a strategy session because they're confident delivering these insane training sessions with motivational stories that, I mean, literally you could record and probably sell online. And so it gave me an opportunity to step away from the coaching role as much and really pour into my staff. That's how I created my staff development system. And so all I was doing was taking notes of everything that was happening all during the week and, you know, the feedback that I was getting. And then, you know, if there was a way that we can improve, I created some type of training or document or something, and we have been doing that ever since. And so 1 year later, we're in the same boat as I was a year before. It's like when 5,000 square feet, and, you know, like the building is just like it can't hold any more people. Luckily, this time I was getting toward the end of my lease. And so I wasn't going to have to pay two leases again. But I started looking for another building. Kind of crazy. But I did it, and I knew that we were going to have an influx of people. And, you know, you're getting feedback, and they're like, oh, I love the place, but it's getting really packed up in here. You know, sometimes we'd have 40 or 50 people training at one time. You know, if we had three or four groups and then somebody doing semi-private. And so I realized, like, hey, I'm at that point again. And I still wasn't where I wanted to be. I still had a vision for something bigger. I was enjoying training the staff. This time I had, you know, developed my online business because I had more time with that. I'm really enjoying that. And everybody was just growing. And like I said, forget about it. I'm just going for it again. And so I started looking. And then there came build out number three. It's been good.
So, you know, I mean, you went from training, you know, the single client at a time, session after session, growing family that now is a pretty significant size family. I mean, six kids. You know, how has that evolution really worked out for you now? Where is your time spent on a daily basis now within the business?
So as of today, I got about three or four semi-private groups that I do, and they're just clients that have been with me for 5 or 6 years. They're mostly either friends or friends of the family. And I do that because I don't want to totally leave the coaching role because I really enjoy it. And it's where I can go out. You know, it's like now I'm at the point to where I can go out. I don't really need the income, if you know what I mean by that. Like, so for me, it's like just doing it for fun, which is completely different than when you have boots on the ground and you know every client and every dollar counts. And so I keep those in there, you know, I want to keep my coaching skills up too and be able to, you know, deliver high quality sessions, deliver great motivation. So I do about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I do about 8 sessions a week, tops. But the majority of my day, I'll tell you this, show up at 8 because I put my daughter on the bus at 7:30 and help my wife get the kids ready, show up 8. And for me, it's marketing all day long, developing ideas, coming up with my lessons for the week for the coaches. Every day at 2 o'clock, I leave. I go pick up my kids for school. I bring them back, and then I come back to the gym for the little while, for about an hour and a half, tie up loose ends, send my emails, get my emails ready to go out for the next day. Then I leave again at 4 o'clock, and I go pick up my kids for karate, gymnastics, piano. And so I'm at the point now to where the gym definitively does not need me at all anymore other than marketing. So it runs on its own. This year I went on vacation for 2 weeks. I didn't get one phone call. Didn't burn down. No catastrophes or anything. It was almost surreal. I got back. I had anxiety thinking, hey, what am I going to find out? And I didn't find out anything, but a whole bunch of my clients telling me how awesome everybody was and how, you know, we didn't miss a step while I was gone. Because when I am at work, I'm kind of a Nazi. I like everything to go good. And, you know, I just want to always be able to deliver high quality and keep from getting complacent. So the guys did an incredible job. And so now if I look at my days, if I train an hour and take my lunch and then do my own workout for an hour and then leave for an hour with my kids, I'm really putting in like 4 hours a day of actual work. And, you know, sometimes I'll have to do, you know, like if we have a fundraiser or event, I might have to work a weekend or stay longer. But now I'm doing it because I want to do it because it's fun versus, you know, scrambling every day to try to make an extra dollar. And little did I know that these are my strengths, like staff development, that's my strength. Like coaching other coaches, that's my strength. Getting up in front of people and talking, that's one of my strengths. You know, I didn't realize that, you know, I love developing products. Like, I just love it. It's so much fun. So I can, you know, do that. And, you know, my job is where I want it to be. It's where I want it to be. I wake up every day and I'm so excited. I can't wait to get to work and see all the people and just, it's just good. That's where I am today.
Nice. So you've even moved into the info marketing side of things. You've kind of shifted a little bit, and now you're a coach of coaches outside your facility. I mean, it seems like from the outside looking in, you definitely have some time to spend with family, and it seems like things are going pretty well. So, I mean, is there anything else about this journey that you can share? I mean, if you had like three tips, takeaways, you know, things that you would want fitness professionals to know to help them in their own journey, what would they be?
Definitely. The first thing, and something that I picked up on, I know I mentioned earlier, was, and, you know, you can call it whatever you want, but you have to develop some type of process or a system or something that is, you know, that somebody can come behind you and do, and that is already working and proven successful, because you're not, you know, always going to be able to do everything yourself. I mean, that was the problem that I had to kind of get over on my own, was passing off some of the responsibility, because I was so intent on doing everything myself because I wanted to work. But then when I realized that I had something that was already working, and it just needed it. Because I think people just do things, and then when they come back, they just do it again, and when they come back, they just do it again, but they don't really have a system for how they do it. And then when you have these systems in place, step by step, I mean literally step by step, laid out exactly what you're supposed to do, even what you're supposed to say, not that you need to memorize it, but so that you'll know how it'll come out and how do you sell yourself. And your system for training. So like you think about all the best businesses in the world, the thing that they're so good at is being consistent. I think about McDonald's. I think about Starbucks. I mean, you know exactly what you're getting when you go. You could go to China and get a Starbucks, and it's going to be the same exact way. Same thing with Big Macs and stuff like that. So I would tell my guys, hey, I want you to be your own person. Have your own style. But you know what? We have to be consistent on what we're doing. So like we're going to deliver these sessions a certain way. There's going to be a system. We're going to deliver program design, professional, nothing off the cuff. We're going to have templates. It's going to be proven successful. Now, you can choose whatever you want to choose, but you'll have that system, and it's only going to do one thing. It's going to make you more successful. It's going to make you more happy, and it's going to make your job easier. And so I realized that, man, everything that I was doing, I should just be saving. And then over time, I had one folder, and then two folders, and then three folders, and then four folders. And then now I have my entire business is completely systematized from the time that a person walks into the front door until they email me or call me saying I'm either going to cancel or I'm finished with my contract. There's even a process for how they leave. Because even though they're leaving, if you've done a good job, there's a good, strong possibility that if they ever want to do fitness again, they'll come back. And so there's a process for that. And so my coaches are loving it because they plug in and allows them to grow. And so, you know, having those systems in place, and then, of course, you know, madly in love with staff training, because I just love to see people do good. It's not that they're doing bad. It's like, hey, let's break down what you're doing and find out every little way that we can improve. And then once we find those ways, then we're going to go get a training or a teaching. And it's not that it's all coming from me. It's that I'm going to go research it as well. You know, because we have some, you know, great minds in the fitness industry. As you know, I buy everything because somebody's got something to teach me. I want to know what it is. And so I share it with them. And so people say, well, you know, I train my staff too. And I'm like, no, but do you do it deliberately and consistently every single week in your meetings? Do you actually have a lesson that you have researched? And that lesson is based on what you've learned the week before about how you can help your coaches and your staff grow personally and professionally. Most people would say, well, no, I don't. You know, I just mention things when we're in training. And I'm like, man, I still think that it's going to be good enough. And so having those systems in place, that staff development. The other thing is you got to learn how to market. And, you know, people, they do a marketing campaign and it does well. okay, write that down, put it on your calendar, because you're going to replicate that in a month or two. And then you just do it over and over and over and over and over. Market consistently and deliver high-quality experience every day when you come into the gym, and you'll be golden. The trick to that is putting that all up into a box, making sure that each system, if you haven't got it perfected, to get it perfected so that somebody else can come behind you and do it exactly like you would, right? High-quality training all the time. You can never know too much. You know as well as I do, you post emails about all your conferences and, you know, the, like, enormous amount of money you spend on professional development. Most people would say, hey, you got it all. You already know everything. I mean, you're Pat Rigsby. But, hey, how do you get that? Because you're constantly learning, constantly reading, constantly writing. And, you know, so that's what I'm doing on a much smaller scale, of course, and I'm passing it on to my staff, which they absolutely love. You know, we read one book after another. And so, you know, we take Athlete's Acceleration for an example. You know, I got introduced to that. I fell in love with the training philosophy and all the coaches, and so I bought all the certifications. And now our whole staff has gone through every single product that they got. And so it has changed the way we do things. It's changed the way we act. We're very confident in what we do, and people notice that in our delivery and their experience. And so for me, I can never know too much. Every day I'm trying to get 1% better or even 2% better. Who knows?
So I'm so glad we got to spend a little bit of time on this today, because so much of what you've done is kind of a blueprint or a case study for the journey that I see so many fitness professionals aspiring to take, right? They're one-on-one trainers, they're employees, or they're independent contractors. They want to get out on their own and start a business. So they take that next step, but really all they've done is transplant their job from in the gym to their own facility, so they've got all the same responsibilities and then some, right? Now they've got to worry about all the utilities. They've got to worry about all the other logistical things. They've got to buy their own equipment, all that stuff that, you know, before they were inside somebody else's space and they didn't really have to navigate. So, you know, they take that next step, but they're really just self-employed and they never get past that. And that's where, you know, they don't make the income they want. They don't have the lifestyle they want. They feel like their business has kind of just swallowed them up. And that's where your journey has been so inspiring, because, you know, you sat in that seat as a one-on-one trainer for a decade. We're not talking about, you know, you as some 22-year-old making this leap. I mean, you sat in that seat for a long time. You had a family. You already had responsibilities. You made the move, and then you kept growing, but you kept dialing things in. You kept systemizing your business. You kept doing the things that you needed to do to keep leveling up, and even packaging up your expertise and adding another revenue stream that I know has brought you probably at this point, golly, I mean, more than you probably made as a trainer during a lot of that first kind of segment of the journey. So, man, I mean, I think your story is inspiring, and I really appreciate you sharing it. So if somebody wants to learn more about you and everything that you have going on, where can they learn more about Fred?
So I have my website. It's just fredzoeller.com. And so that's the most of my online stuff, you know, staff development, the program design, the coaching system that united together. And so for that part, it's just my website. And, you know, that's got all the information for all my products, you know, and I blog pretty regularly when I'm learning something new. I like to share, you know, if I find something that's working well, I'm likely trying to jump out and share it, because I think for, you know, most fitness professionals, they get caught up in trying to, you know, make the money in the hours. I don't realize eventually there's got to be some trade-off, you know, and you have to give up some of those hours to other people in order for you to work on your business. And so that's where people get caught up. And then for my gym, it's leanperformanceacademy.com. And so that website, we keep it updated, and, you know, we do a lot of social media and stuff like that. And so that's pretty much it, you know, with my email list. You know, I try to stay as active as I can on Virtual Fitness Mastermind. I really like that a lot. Incredible group of like-minded people. And, you know, yeah, I mean, last thought, I just, you know, I'm still new at this, but I always tell people, you know, like, I give credit to my success and the fact that I just I never feel like I know too much. I can always learn. And so, you know, for me, it's open mind all the time, and let's just do this.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you for sharing your story, and thank you guys for listening in to this most recent episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thank you, too.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut-and-paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.